Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, stock valuation. The lecture today will be mostly terminology and background conceptual framework, and then Friday, some formulas. They're not like calculus, they're just math, and you've actually kind of seen these formulas before, so there's not much there. Let me have a quick look at the numbers here, just to see a grim day. It's not horrible, but you notice that, oddly, the Dow is down almost a full percentage point. The S&P 500 is down a little less, and the NASDAQ is actually down not as bad as the Dow either. In other words, whatever bad news is out there that's driving the bulls today is impacting more the larger the company. So whatever that is. And of course, we have over here crude oil, as I told you, it's climbing. Its next mark that you will look for is 125, probably within a week and a half. And gas prices are going to probably reach about $5 a gallon down here by sometime in the next week, 2 weeks. We'll see that. And it's going to keep going up as we see more of the impact of the reduction in the supply of oil as a result of cutting off the flow of oil from Russia. And although the Arab states, the OPEC nations, will probably try to increase their production somewhat, they benefit from these higher prices, obviously. So their incentive to quickly compensate for the loss of supply is not going to be particularly quickly done. Anyway, gold and silver are up a little bit, not a little bit, actually up kind of a noticeable amount. So, but you notice that the bonds, yields are down 5 basis points. That's more. They were down a few times this week. And so if the yields are down, the prices are up. So investors are getting out of the stocks, and they're going to metals and bonds. Flight to quality, from more riskier investments to safer harbors for their investments. This is classic flight to quality. However, at the same time, if you want look over here at the volumes that are on the trading today, the S&P 500, the volume of trading is not, I mean, almost a third of what it usually is on a day. Today, it's at $1.424 billion. A typical day over the last year, it was nearly $4 billion. So we do have very weak trading activity. In other words, what you have here, and I was supposed to have turned that off, get off. What you have happening here is a lot of sideliners. In other words, the big dogs are staying off the playing field, keeping their money in cash for now, or holding their position, whatever it is, and just waiting to see what happens next. How bad is it going to get over in Eastern Europe is the big question now. The best that we can tell right now is that the Russians have been stopped dead, and they're actually being backed off, and eventually that would back them off to the point where they're going to be in slaughter pits. What does that mean that our favorite enemy is going to do? Chemical weapons, or possibly a small, lower-yield nuclear weapon on a smaller city in Ukraine. If that happens, NATO is most likely going to invoke Article 5, and then we are in what would qualify as a world war. Okay, so everyone kind of stays off to the side just to see what happens next. Volume was light across the board on the markets. Now, if you look over in London, they started out with a good surge, but then it lost steam and the bears took over. And by the end of trading, just a while ago, London was down for the day somewhat. Nikkei, however, it had just a quiet, slow rise all through the day. Not a spectacular thing, but 1% up, that's a decent day. So apparently the Asian markets are not concerned with what's going on that's worrying the rest of the world, at least the Western hemisphere. So there you are. There's where we're sitting today as we go into what's going on for the rest of the week and into next week. Bear market probably is going to hold on. I don't see anything like a black swan happening, but it will get very exciting if we do get into an expanded war front in Eastern Europe. Today is about stocks, equities, as it were. Now, I've said some of this before, and it's going to be a repeat this time with emphasis on what goes on in a corporation. Now, this is about corporations, primarily about C corporations, and not just C corporations, but that subset of them that are publicly traded C corporations. Stock, you own a share of stock, you own part of that company. You own 10 shares of that stock, you own 10 shares of that company. You are an owner. You are the one who is all at risk as far as you put your money in. You can make a lot of money or you can lose a lot of money. Now remember that the bond market is 10 times the size of the stock market. But we are more interested in talking about stocks and bonds for a couple of reasons. One is, as I've said, stocks have much more volatility. A bond, you're going to get $1,000 when the bond matures, as long as the company's still around. And so, in other words, there's this anchor out here. So the price is not going to swing wildly away from that par value of $1,000. But stock, I mean, they can go anywhere. They can go up, theoretically, an infinite amount, or they can go down to zero if the company goes into bankruptcy. The stockholders lose everything. So stocks tend to have more volatility. They have more opportunity for upside and more opportunity for downside, too. They are riskier overall than bonds are. Now, here's another reason that we place the emphasis on stocks. Stocks represent ownership, as I said. You are the people that control the fate of the corporation through the board of directors that you elect. So at the top of a corporation are the shareholders. They are the owners of the corporation. Now understand this, the corporation is not the shareholders. It's not the shareholders. It is its own entity under the law. I might have already told you about this. Some years back here, when I was going to turn my own little company, Emergent Light Studio, into a corporation, I decided that I would show it in a Business 100 class. Here's what it looks like to do this, which is one of the reasons I no longer teach Business 100, because they wanted me to teach the standardized curriculum, and I didn't want to do it. I said, you want to see a corporation? Let's watch. Let's do it. Now, it used to be long, long ago, when you create a corporation, you had to file in triplicate this paperwork called the Articles of Incorporation with the Secretary of State of the state in which you were going to be incorporated. So, and by the way, in the state in which you are incorporated, you are domestic. Any other state in which you would operate, you are a foreign corporation. So when I filed the Articles of Incorporation, I filed them in the state of Illinois, which meant that I am domestic in Illinois. But when I go to another state, say for an art show, I am a foreign corporation. I am representing a foreign corporation in that state. Kind of an odd thing to think about. But the important thing is, note this. A corporation is a state entity. It is not a federal entity. It's a state entity. It's more than that. Now, the Articles of Incorporation used to be you filled out the standard form and all this, and you mailed it to the Secretary of State of the State of Incorporation in triplicate. Well, by the time I did this, back in 2012 it was, February of 2012, it had gone online. There was a place in the State of Illinois Secretary of State web complex where you could actually fill out the Articles of Incorporation lines on an online form. And so I did it that night. And the students watched as I did it, and then I got them involved. Because, you see, when I file, I have to say, here is going to be the official name. You have to say the name of the corporation, its business address, who's the person in the address that paperwork is sent to, and how many shares of stock are authorized. The capital stock of this corporation shall be divided into so many shares, and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got all that, and they said, okay, what's the name of your company? And I typed Emergent Light Student, and they said, okay, you've got to have a comma and something. Will it be comma Inc., comma Incorporated, Company, Co., period, LTD, period, limited, comma, limited. You have to tell us what it is. So I asked the class, vote, what is it going to be? And, of course, they decided Emergent Light Studio, comma, INC, period. So that was, and I filed them. Within seconds, it came back. All these numbers and words are in due form. You are hereby a corporation. And I was even blown away because it used to be you waited weeks for them to get back to you with the paperwork. They said, you're a corporation. So in other words, what that paper, that sheet they sent back that I could print out was a birth certificate. Literally, it's just like a human birth certificate, which is filed with the state. The Emergent Light Studio had become an entity of its own, separate from me, the sole shareholder. And that's the way it is with any company. And then you tell how many shares you get and the different people, the founders' shares, which I'll get back to here in a minute. Okay, then the next thing is immediately you have to file for an FEIN, Federal Employer Identification Number. That was a website at US in the United States government. I said, okay, went to a form. It said, what did you fill in for this in the Articles of Incorporation? What did you fill in here? And you went through all these boxes, and I said, okay, well, let's see what happens. And I clicked. Instantly, it came back with an FEIN. Everything's in order. Here's your FEIN. That's a Social Security number for a corporation. So in other words, the way our structure works in the United States is that it's all like you have created a separate living entity under the law. It has its own birth certificate, the Articles of Incorporation, and it has its own Social Security number, the Federal Employer Identification Number, the FEIN. Well, I thought, well, that was cool. And so that night, they saw a corporation being born. Okay, so where do we go from there? Stock in the corporation. Now, the corporation has a number of authorized shares. Now, you should make that a pretty darn big number, because then from that, you will do offerings of stock. You'll give stock to the insiders, the founders, and all of that. So what happens at this point is that the bylaws of the corporation will define the structure of the board of directors. What the specific titled positions are and what their responsibilities are. So in the basic framework, you'll have a minimum of four positions: president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. Now you can have other members too, members at large. Or you could have this is the director in charge of marketing and all that kind of stuff. Okay. This board of directors is elected by the shareholders. Each share, one share, is one vote per board position. So if there are four board positions, you have four votes, one for each of the shareholders. Now, some corporations, it depends on how the bylaws are laid out. They might say, you, madam, you're a shareholder in my company. I have this board. I'm the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. You hate my guts. I don't know. Okay, so I was stalking you. No. What you could do is, in some corporations, you could actually concentrate you have four votes. You could actually aim them at me and vote me out and put in your friend there. You could do that. You wouldn't do that to me, right? Of course not. Yes, you would. I know you. But you see, there's the thing is that that's not true in all corporate structures, but it is in some where you can actually focus your votes down on one position. And I actually saw a couple of situations where there was just one board member. He was an asshole. He was always in the media making a scene or something like that. And so, my goodness, a whole lot of shareholders just concentrated their votes to kick him out. So that could happen, but that's not all corporations. Some say, no, one vote, one position. But one way or the other, the board of directors then hires the executive management, the CEO, the CFO, the COO, the CIO. So the board hires this rung, the executive management. And of course, then they're the ones in charge of hiring everyone below them. Now, the board represents the interests of the shareholders and only the interests of the shareholders. The corporation has one and only one job: to maximize the wealth of the shareholders, period. They are not there to represent the customers, the community, the environment. One and only one objective. So this whole idea, well, we've got to consider all the stakeholders, bullshit. No, there is one job they have. That's to make the most money they can for the shareholders who are the owners of the corporation. You see, that's a very different thing from the bondholders. Corporation has an obligation to pay them what it borrowed from them. But other than that, it does not have an obligation. This shareholder thing is the center of how corporations function, or at least they should. Now, let me go back here for one moment. There are shares that sometimes have more than one vote. Oftentimes, and there are these shareholders also can't sell theirs as fast or in any time they want. They're the founder's shares. The shares that were given to start the corporation. And I'm going to show you a couple of these here. Now, oftentimes, one of the features of founder's shares is that they have super voting rights. Each founder's share might have 10 or 100 votes. So they can maintain control of the board of directors. And everyone else is just, kind of like a peon in the whole thing. I'll show you a couple here. One of them is, matter of fact, let me start with this one. Berkshire Hathaway, and I've shown you this before. These are the baby Berks. You get one share, one vote. You are allowed to go to the annual shareholders meeting. You're allowed to speak at a shareholders meeting. You're an owner. It goes by the old Roberts rules of order. The minority must be allowed to speak. The majority must be allowed to rule. But you can go. I mean, you could buy a baby Burke and go and hang out with Warren. You're not going to get to see him, probably, but you could go and you could even say something at the meeting. As a matter of fact, this is an old tradition. It goes back many, many years where a group that has some special interest will buy a block of shares just so they can go to the annual shareholders meeting and bitch about something. Now, one that was kind of the one that first became prominent was a group of anti-smoking advocates in the 1990s who bought a block of shares in a restaurant chain like Wendy's, and then they'd go to the meetings and say, we want this company to make all of its restaurants non-smoking. There have also been groups that bought blocks of shares to address animal rights, environmental issues, and all that. They're allowed to speak at the meetings. They have their say, and you know, usually they're ignored until it becomes more timely and there's more pressure, but they can speak. However, here's Baby Berks, one vote, one share. Now, let me show you the Big Berks. Now, remember, Berkshire Hathaway, you can become an owner, a shareholder for $450. There's what it means to have one of the big shares. Super voting rights. You get to sit at the dinner table near Warren Buffett. He even allows you to breathe his air. These are the insiders. This is the heavies. And a lot of these are owned by the people, their founders' shares. Some of them are otherwise. You can buy one of these. And I'm looking at you right now. You're probably thinking, do I have enough in my checking account to do this? Yes. Yes, you do. Well, something kind of striking today. This was a very low volume day. Look at the normally 21 of these shares trades a day. For some reason, 2,804 of those shares have traded today. And of course, then the philosophical question is, WTF, how could that happen? These are heavies. These are insiders. Obviously, someone dumped a pile of shares, and then they were bought back up through the day by others. But if you want to see what this means in terms of money, if we're talking about 2,811 shares of Berkshire Hathaway A trading at around $524,825 today, almost $1.5 billion. Just in this kind of super voting stock on one corporation. Now, that's a lot of money. I don't care who you are, that's a lot of money. So what the heck was this all about? I got nothing. And I've talked to a couple people, they said they didn't even know it had happened. They were looking at the heck. Probably an insider is deciding to cash out and go live in the mountains or something, I don't know. But it was bought back up right away, very quickly, and the shock was absorbed by others coming in to grab it up, probably Russian oligarchs, I imagine, or something like that. But there you are. Now, another one that has Class A and Class B stock is Ford. This is old insider family stock. And if you went into their 10K, you would see there's Class A. The only stock that's reported is Class B. The Class A is founder stock. It's restricted. The insiders can't sell their shares like other people can because they have insider information. That was what was so hilarious. I think it was last week. Elon Musk and his brother sold a pile of their stock. Illegal as hell what they did. Now, sir, if you did that, guess what would happen to you? Now, but Elon Musk and his brother do it? All they're going to do is get slapped on the wrist. And what does Musk do? He comes back and says bad things about the SEC on social media. Whatever. There's two kinds of people, and we're not that other kind. Okay. There's an idea that families do have insider position. You'll see this with companies like Walmart, Ford, and all that. Okay. Now, taking that off the board here for just a minute and talking about this again. Board of directors. This falls into the realm of what we call corporate governance. Now, for a long, long time, corporate governance was sort of like one of those popular fad terms. It has gotten serious in the last 5 years, yeah, the last 2 years especially. I mean, even here at Illinois State University, one of our most recent faculty hirings in finance is a corporate governance specialist. She's top dog in this kind of business. So, yeah, we're taking this seriously because the world is taking it seriously. Here's the reality of it. Boards of directors, they were almost exclusively old white men who ran these corporations, and they ran them like their own country clubs. They just assumed everyone was going to keep voting for them, and they made sure that they got enough proxy votes to vote themselves back in all the time. They did things their way. They were insiders on Wall Street. The people that they hired were Wall Street people, so that there was a revolving door. Some of these board members were board members of other companies, which is technically not supposed to happen, interlocking directorships and all that. It does. And it was just a joke. You have votes? Oh, yeah, I own some shares of this stock. I'm going to vote, by God. No, you're not. Yeah, well, even if you do, who cares? You mean nothing. These boards of directors were, first of all, not just not inclusive, they were exclusive. And they were also highly, highly tangled into this network. And it's, no matter how hard we try, I mean, yeah, we're smashing these barriers, but the reality is that this is still there. This is very different from what's happening in Europe, for example. For example, in Europe, there are laws in the Eurozone about what you can and can't do with a board of directors. One thing is, you have to have outside directors, and they have to be completely objective outside directors. It's a requirement. You can't run the corporation if you don't do that. Another thing is that I believe in some countries, there are laws that require that the government have a representative on the board of directors. So that if the board has a meeting, the government is right there to know what this meeting was about and what decisions were made and how they could or are not contrary to the interests of the country and its overall citizenry. That's a very different concept of a corporation that they're following. And we talk about it. Yes, we are getting serious about corporate governance. But the reality is that this would have to come. It's not going to come from, now some boards, don't get me wrong, some are becoming enlightened. They're bringing in more outside directors. They're getting the clue that inclusivity does not mean watering down, it means strengthening the board, the whole nine yards like that. But a lot of corporations, like I said, they aren't going to take it seriously until the government says you're going to prison unless you start behaving yourself like adults in the 21st century. That's just how it'll be. Well, yeah, so we're going to have Congress pass laws? Really? I don't care whether it's a conservative or a liberal. They're in this. This is the reality of it. Even some of the biggest reformers in the system, they're part of this whole network. It's just kind of depressing in a way. It's just the reality of it. Look, I'm a professor of finance. I'm an expert in this. I know what the reality is out there, and I know that it's going to take a long time to break it. That's your job, not mine. I'll be dead. Leave me alone. I'll be in a grave, unless you bring something to eat. But other than that, this is your job, to force open this inside network, this tangled, incestuous network. Don't just say, well, we're going to smash the glass ceilings. No, you turn them into flinders and you walk in like a bull in a china shop and fix things up. God, I can't believe I'm a conservative and I say things like this. But anyway, that's the reality of it. Okay, look, let's get back down to the business here. The board of directors hires the executive management. The executive management hires the people below them. So in other words, you're down here on the food chain. You're not going to be at the bottom of it, but you're down on the food chain quite a ways. And the reality is that the compensation levels are ridiculous in the United States for executives compared to what they are in other parts of the world. There are corporations 500-600 times the average worker's salary in the corporation. It's what these executives are paid. Again, there's where you've got to figure out how we do this. The problem is letting private enterprise do it, you're going to wait a few centuries. Yeah, let's bring in the government. Oh, yeah, there's a great idea right there. Have the government decide. So it's difficult. You'll figure it out one way or the other. Okay, so now going on from there, though, this voting thing. You get to, if you're a shareholder, you get to go to the meeting. I mean, I've been thinking of having my annual shareholders meeting in some really nice place like Cabo San Luca. You know, and then I'd have to have all of my shareholders go down there. Boy, wait, I'm the only shareholder. Darn, I got to go down there. So there's that. The annual shareholders meetings are actually kind of an interesting thing. And if you really wanted to network, geez, I mean, I have even known students who bought, this one young man, a few years back, his family wanted to know what he wanted for his graduation present. He said, I want 100 shares of such and such a company. He was smart. He knew that he could go to the annual shareholders meeting. That son of a bitch went there with a bunch of resumes and his business cards. He actually got a darn good job networking at this because this was a company that he wanted to work for. And he got a job through this process. And I thought, boy, that takes some guts. I don't think I'd be able to do that. But he was a cheesy kid. So yeah, you can go. However, most companies, the board of directors, okay, let's try this. Let's do it this way. You, sir, you're on the board of directors. You make a huge amount of money every year just sitting there on your fat ass having meetings and going to dinners and five-star hotels and, of course, finding companionship while you're there. I know, right? Yeah. But so are you going to let this go? Are you going to say, no, I don't want to be on the board of directors anymore. Just don't like the life that I'm living. Of course you're not. You're going to fight tooth and nail to keep that life. So we have these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 directors that are going to want to have the shareholders vote them back in. You are a slate of directors. So, how can you help yourself out? Well, you've got shares of your own. You can vote for yourselves, obviously. But what you would really like to do is have everyone else vote for you. So you will send out a proxy card. Please assign your votes to us because we deserve them. Yes, you could go to the meeting, but you really don't matter. So why don't you give us your votes? They don't say that, but that's what it is. So you can sign that card, and you'll vote their shares, and obviously you'll vote yourselves back in. And that's how it works. Proxy, sign the proxy card, and it's all done. You don't have to worry about it, anyone else. But now we have this. Dirty Dog is going to say, you know what? I could run this company better, me and my friends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can do a counter proxy. First, you buy some shares so that you have a voice. Now, eventually, if you buy more than 5% or something like that, you have to notify the SEC, we have acquired such and such a stake. But then from there, you could send out proxy, a counter proxy. Please vote us back in because these people are assholes. Now, you won't say it like that. Well, you could. I mean, you get some votes. But you understand that you could actually do a counter proxy. In other words, you're a black knight. You are a hostile takeover entity. So you're going to come after them. If you get the majority of the votes, then what you can do is kick them out, fire their sorry-ass executive management, and insert your own people from your own companies with your own company's interests into it. That is a proxy fight that's going on. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to buy some shares. That's going to start to get the Wall Street people and the fund managers and people like me interested. Ooh, we got stock price pushing upward. buy. And then you guys are going to try to figure out how you're going to stop this process. Now, there are a couple of ways, obviously, that you, the one way you can do it is you're not going to sit there and say, you're going to fight for your positions. You're going to say things about us. Well, this board of directors, well, she's a dog beater. She's a cat strangler. And she hasn't changed her socks in like 3 days. And you, madam, I don't want to talk about it, but I mean, that incense in your house, I mean, you are not having that incense just because you like fragrant cedar. You're going to take your shot at us. And you're also maybe going to start trying to buy some shares to try to increase your leverage, your voting power. Or you might try to find a white knight. White knight would be someone like you. You're a corporation. You make a deal. Look, you come to our side, you buy shares, you fight with us, and we'll give you positions on our board of directors. We'll let you have some of your people be some of our executive managers. You're the white knight fighting for them against the black knights, okay? And then that bids the price up even more. And then you're not going to give up, because if you give up, that's bad looking for you and that hurts you. So you're going to fight to buy more stock to increase your position. You're going to say all kinds of bad things about each other. And you got yourself what I used to do in one of my areas of consulting. You got a full-blown war going on. And, of course, the shareholders are going to benefit. All these shareholders are going to say, yeah, man, look at that stock price. We're just going to sit here and go ahead and fight each other. And ultimately, though, that's one way, is through black knight, white knight, and a proxy war and all that. Another thing that you can do is you can use poison pills. A poison pill is an action by the current board of directors that is adverse to the interest of the Black Knight. A poison pill is an action carried out by the board of directors that is adverse to the Black Knight. An action by the board of directors that is adverse to the interest of the Black Knight. So what would that mean? Well, classic as a golden parachute. Okay, we are voting that if we are fired, each of us gets a $100 million severance package. Now, the Black Knights are going to say, ew, whoa, that's nasty. What else can the current directors do? I mean, there are a lot of things. I mean, some of them are subtle as heck. But one thing you could do is have the company borrow lots of money. Increase the leverage of the company substantially, because that increases the risk of the company, and the Black Knights might not want to take on a company that has so much debt it might not even be able to make its next coupon payment. Essentially, you're putting yourselves at risk, and you're betting that the Black Knights are not going to want to take on that risk in something they acquire. That's another poison pill. I mean, like I said, there are poison pills. I mean, I learned in the business from some of the old experts. They showed me things that don't look like they're a poison pill, but they really were a poison pill in one way or another. They started taking on just a whole pile of new risky projects, products. And, of course, that made the whole corporation's beta go up, and the Black Knight said, our beta's like 0.8, our shareholders love it. Suddenly we're about to take over a corporation with a beta of 2, and, boy, our shareholders are really not going to be thrilled about that. So there are all kinds of things that you can do to poison. But anyway, that's one of the sort of the more interesting aspects of this whole story of the corporation, is control of the entity itself. How does that control translate down? the board of directors has a responsibility to the shareholders to maximize the wealth of the shareholders. That's their only job. If that maximization of wealth, and I'm going to get into this in the ethics lecture, so don't go bitching to someone about how evil I am when I say this. If that means that you break the law, you could break the law to increase shareholder value. The question you ask is, well, is this moral? No, the question is, can I get by with it? You see, because if you can't get by with it, you're hurting your shareholders' wealth. But if you can, well, like hell you're not going to do it. Bill Gates did it. He committed massive violations of antitrust laws. He broke the law right and left, but he knew he was going to get by with it. And even when they finally came to kick his ass, he was going to be so big that he kicked the government's ass in the settlement in 2000. U.S. government, United States, the Microsoft Corp. That's the reality of it. Now, how evil is that? Yeah, that's pretty damned evil. But that's the reality of corporate governance. Do we really want a world where the question is not right or wrong? The question is, can I get by with it or not? And that, of course, as I said, is your problem down the road in the decades to come. Let me know how it works out, as long as you bring something to eat for me at the gravesite. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.